Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Lynn S., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, April the 16th, and we are reading from the Big Book on page 151, chapter 11, A Vision for You. We're reading that first paragraph and commenting on that. Today's readers are the 12 steps, Terry S., 12 Traditions, Karen W., and readers of the text are Mo H., Maria S., and Dion R. The share ID for Wednesday, April the 15th, 10 a.m. meeting is 14445. And for this morning, Thursday, April the 16th, the 7 a.m. meeting is 14452. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Terry S. to read the 12 steps. Please go ahead, Terry.
Good morning. This is Terry S., recovering food addict in Bend, Oregon. The 12 steps. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. We're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Terry S. And Karen W. is going to read the 12 traditions. Please go ahead, Karen.
Yes, good morning. This is Karen W., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority: a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose: to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you and have a great meeting, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Karen W. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, page 151, the first paragraph for most normal folks. Mo H., could you read for us, please?
Yes, Lynn, thank you very much. My name is Mo H., recovered compulsive eater and sugar addict in Walnut Creek, California. Chapter 11, A Vision for You. For most normal folks, drinking means conviviality, companionship, and colorful imagination. It means release from care, boredom, and worry. It is joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good, but not so with us in those last days of heavy drinking. The old pleasures were gone. They were but memories. Never could we recapture the great moments of the past. There was an insistent yearning to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession that some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. There was always one more attempt and one more failure. Okay, so lots of words jump out at me here, but it starts out with, for most normal folks. Well, I have to admit to myself in step one that I am not a normal folk. I am a compulsive overeater, and I am an addict. So I can't drink now or eat with conviviality and companionship. And I did that when I went to weddings and social events and even had people over. And, you know, there was a lot of food around all the time. So I have to admit that I am not a normal person. So step one, I have to take step one 100%. And then realize that those old pleasures are gone. And my sponsor says, you know, not gone for today, gone forever. I mean, I can enjoy life without the food that tempts me. So here's what happens. And I know I was doing this when I was dieting. I was just trying to recapture the memories of the past, and I couldn't. But there was an insistent yearning, and that means craving. And so I look at that as the physical allergy to enjoy life as we once did, and a heartbreaking obsession. And I looked at it at that as a mental twist. To me, this is step one. Physical allergy, the mental twist. That some new miracle of control would enable us to do it. Well, there is no control in my food addiction. And I could not enable it to do it. Like diets. That's what I guess I kept looking for, was the next right diet. Even when the big book was handed to me at my first meeting, or I was suggested to buy it, and the 12 and 12, I thought, well, here's the answer, and I put it up on the shelf. I didn't read it for years. And then here we go. There was one more attempt and one more failure, and that to me is relapse. You know, I hear it said, wash, rinse, and repeat. You know, I just keep repeating what was done in the past. So I have to really, I think this is really pushing us to look at step one, and this is the way I understand it in my life, and release all those thoughts to God when I have them. I don't have physical cravings anymore, thank you, God, but I do have mental twists, and it's not about the food today. It's about this virus. It could be about anything that's going on, and with that, I have to do 10 steps, but my last debacle got me here, and I am so happy for it. I couldn't capture the pleasures of the past. And so with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Mo. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every 3 days in order that others might share their experience too. So for us, that means if you shared on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it helps me hear everybody. Who would like to share?
Janet C.
Elena C.
Marie J.
Tracy K.
Okay, let me tell you who I heard. Janice PM, Elaine C, Marie J, and Tracy Kerr. Sorry, Tracy K. Anyone else? All right,
Robin
let's start
P.
with that. Oh, Robin P. Okay. So let's start with our lineup then. We have Janice PM followed by Elaine C. Please go ahead, Janice.
Well, thank you so much, Lynn, and please chime in. My name is Janice PM from Boston, and I am a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater. A vision. What's a vision? A vision is an outlook, what it's going to be. Somebody's going to be like a, I don't know, what do you call those people? Not a storyteller, but I don't know. But this is God, for me, it's God's vision for me. And for you, because they're going to tell, this chapter tells me what I was like, what happened, and what it is now. And this is what it says in the first paragraph. For most normal, and I love the definitions of certain words, and I'm going to piggyback or go on. Normal, I wanted to be normal. That was the problem. I wanted to be normal when it came to food. Like my girlfriends, they could eat and they could exercise. Me, I could eat, but I didn't want to exercise, and I still wanted the same outcome, or whatever. I mean, they ate, and they stopped. And if they, you know, they wouldn't want it again the next day or the next 3 hours. And that was the difference with me, because my insides were different than my girlfriend or my husband or whoever it was that was, quote, normal. So I was always fighting for that companionship and colorful imagination, but it wasn't for me like that, because in the last days towards the end, it wasn't fun for me before, because I was either going towards it or keeping away from it, because I never, and it says never, it got worse and worse, and I could never recapture those days, you know, that were good and fun. Because I was always trying to control to be normal. Today I know I'm a compulsive overeater, and I can't be a normal eater. maybe in some other aspects, very limited, of life, I could be normal, whatever that is. But with the food, I always failed. I didn't know about the allergy of the body. I didn't know about the obsession, that fixation that I had, that irresistible impulse that I had in my mind that I wanted more. And I could never, you know, they would go out and drink and all that, but I didn't want to drink. This is just mine, for me. But I wanted to eat even when I was full. You know, then it was, my mother used to say, how can you eat all that? Well, I used to say, how can you drink all that? But this tells us what we were like. And we were heartbroken. I had intense sorrow because I couldn't, no matter what I tried, I couldn't become normal when I was around food. And with that, I'm going to pass.
Time, please. Perfect. Perfect. Thank you, Janice PM. Elena C., it's your turn, followed by Marie J. Please go ahead, Elena.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Elena C. from Greenville, South Carolina, almost recovered by the beautiful miracle of my amazing higher power with the help of my sponsor. I'm almost recovered again for the second time. And I just love this paragraph, and I so much related to the first part that, you know, for most normal folks, drinking means just being with others and enjoying the connection with others, and it's free of boredom and worry, kind of like a happy hour and or joyous intimacy. For me, you know, for me, it was not. For me, like, I planned, I mean, I would just enjoy to be invited to these parties because I knew there was a lot of sweets and a lot of food. And I would always be the person who would be in charge with the cake. And I would always get the cake that I liked. And I would plan it, how much cake I will eat. And, you know, and boy, like, that's what I remember. That is what I remember, you know. And I even went to the parties that I did not like the people there. People were not very nice to me, but just because I knew there were a lot of food. And so that's what I remember. But I also remember the plunging after that in just this desperation of sadness about what the heck is wrong with me, and you know, like feeling empty that I did not have good connection with people. And that's what I remember. And, you know, I have been abstinent for 3 months now, and it's just beautiful. And I practice entire abstinence, and I have a sponsor who has taken me again through the steps. And, you know, and it's beautiful because I can now enjoy, I can see life, I can stay present in the moment with people and not think so much about the cake that I'm going to eat or when I'm going to eat it, how I'm going to hide it, you know. And life is beautiful. And in spite of anxieties that I do feel at times due to all that's going on around, you know, I'm practicing step 10 every day. I'm now into step 11 and practicing every day. And I want to stay this way. This is the life that I like. This I am going to ask my higher power to give me all the strength to stay in this life and make these choices for myself. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Elena C. Marie J., it's your turn, followed by Tracy K. Please go ahead, Marie.
Thanks. Hi, this is Marie J., recovered in Colorado. And, you know, I'm not normal, and I'm never going to be normal. I'm not normal now. I wasn't normal then. And what I'm finding is now in all this chaos of uncertainty in this pandemic, I just want to control. I want ease and comfort. I want to control something. I want something to be predictable. And There's no routine in my life. There's no order. I'm self-employed.
Excuse me
realtor.
For a minute, Marie. Excuse me. Sorry to interrupt you. There's a bit of an echoing every once in a while. Are you on speaker or headset or something?
I'm not, but...
okay, that's okay. Let's just keep going then. Thank you.
Okay,
thanks.
So nothing, I don't have any order and I don't have any control. And what I'm finding is that right now I have to be rigorously honest. I have to keep my food in order. I have to be really in charge of writing down my food and keeping my abstinence, because it's really easy to rest on my laurels. It's really easy to get sloppy with my food. And even though I've been recovered for a long time, I find that I just want ease and comfort. And so I've got a very disciplined plan for what I can control. And that is, I write down my food, I'm staying abstinent, I'm back to weighing and measuring. I got sloppy on that. I got rested on my laurels, and I got really, sloppy about keeping control of weighing and measuring. And I'm watching all these people on Facebook who say, yeah, we're all going to get fat, and we're all going to, gain all this weight. And this program is not about that, but it is something that I can be rigorous about. It's something I can be honest about, and it keeps my sanity. And the rest I accept and I give to God. Surrender is so important for me right now, because I just have to accept all the other circumstances of my life and turn them over. So my spiritual practice has to be very rigorous and honest. I've got to stay close to God and continue to give everything that I can't control to higher power. But first I have to be abstinent. And first I have to manage the commute to the things that keep me abstinent so that I can stay in fit spiritual condition, accept everything else, all these other hardships in my life, and give them over to the power. And that's really working a strong program for me. And I'm just really grateful. I'm grateful these meetings are still going on and we all have the opportunity to come together and support each other while it's hard. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Marie J. Tracy K., it's your turn, followed by Robin P. Please go ahead, Tracy.
Hi, I'm Tracy K. I'm a recovered compulsive eater in Ontario, Canada. What I'd like to share on in this paragraph, for most normal folks, it took a long time for me to really concede to my innermost self that I was not normal. When it came to food. And I can remember when I first came into a program reading, the doctor's opinion where they say, we were outright mental defectives and sometimes in full flight from reality. And I just thought that was so extreme and awful. And then I started to become aware of what I was really doing with food. And I was really in full flight from reality. When it came to life and what I was using food for. When I first was a child and I was eating compulsively, it meant release from care. That when I overate, I was taken out of right here, right now, and I was somewhere else, and all the stresses of my family and my life were gone. I usually read a book and ate and wasn't present and wasn't disturbed. But over time, I was unable to keep that up, and the food itself became a source of pain. And I kept trying to get back to those old days where eating was something that was pleasurable, and I could not. And food became so miserable, and yet I could not stop doing it. I could not stop binging. Never could I recapture the great moment of the past. Yeah, it was very bad. I remember hearing once in a meeting a woman said that if she knew she only had 6 months to live, she would go back to all of her old foods. And I just was horrified when I heard that, because I can't think of anything worse now than being in the food. That thing that when I was a little girl was my friend just became my absolute worst enemy. And there's no situation so bad that eating over it can't make it worse. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Tracy K. And Robin P., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Robin.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Vero Beach, Florida. And really grateful for the meeting, as always. You know, for most normal folks, eating meant, you know, all these things, companionship, community, you know, just all those things that you dream it should do for you, that it doesn't do. And at least for me, you know, I had crossed over that line. And never could we recapture the great moments of the past. You know, I using an object to fill a God hole just in my experience doesn't ever work. And, you know, asking it to be my best friend, my everything, my comforter, just an inanimate object to do all these things to literally fill me, just it's set up to fail. And if it would have worked, it would have worked for me because I did it over and over and over and over again. And just like it says, there's always one more attempt and one more failure, you know, and that heartbreaking obsession, that's exactly what it feels like. Someday I could have that miracle of control. And today I'm so grateful, you know, I have my meals. I'm so grateful to be abstinent these past few years. And I'm also a vegan, and I eat really healthily, and I'm so grateful that I use my food as medicine. Wow, that would never have occurred to me before. It just would have been the furthest thing. It was my comforter, not my medicine. And that especially in these times, it's so important that I, you know, build my immunity with my food, with my exercise. You know, with grounding outside, it's so important to do what I can do internally for myself. You know, yes, the outside things, washing your hands, staying, you know, distancing, social distancing, but I just also know that part of my recovery is to take care of my own immune system as best as I can with what I've learned in recovery. So I just wanted to, God bless everybody in your recoveries. I pray that we all have a very abstinent, blessed day. And I'm sending you a lot of love. Thanks so much for letting me share.
And thank you, Robin T. For those of us who might have come on the line a little bit later, we are in Chapter 11, A Vision for You, on page 151. And we're reading and commenting on the first paragraph for most normal folks. The line is now open for sharing on what we just read. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every 3 days in order that others might share their experience too. So for us, that means if you shared on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it helps me hear everyone. Who would like to share?
Michelle M.
Terry S.
Jean L.
Rachel P.
Okay. Let me just tell you who I have right now. I have Michelle F., Jean L., Terry S., Rachel P. Was there anyone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup then, please. We'll start with Michelle F., followed by Jean L. Please go ahead, Michelle.
Hi. Thank you, moderator, for your service. I'm really grateful to be here. I'll hope I can make some sense out of all of this. You know, food was my friend, and food was my family growing up. And you know, for most normal folks, it's, you know, eating is conviviality. It's Thanksgiving. It's sitting at the table together. It's, you know, reunions and things like that. And I know I'm not normal because what I remember most about my childhood is the food and not the family and not the friends, not the occasion. And it stopped being fun for me a really long time ago, but I just could not give up the insane obsession about here's how I'll control it. This time it won't bite me. And, we renewed our vows about a few years back in recovery, and I invited all recovery friends. And, you know, my sponsor, who has great recovery, came to the ceremony, said that was a lovely ceremony, and then she left. And then everyone else stayed for the party. And one of the other fellows in my OA program, all he could talk about was how great the food was. And it just made me sad. It made me realize, you know, how different we are from normal people. And, you know, I heard someone else say that they would go to parties for the food. That was me with movies. I just can't sit through a movie now. I like to be able to do something. And what I did was eat. So I went to the most god-awful movies I had no interest in seeing just so I could eat popcorn and candy in the dark with my husband. And, you know, darn if I can remember a single one that I went to see. But I remember that popcorn and that candy. You know, it's frightening to realize how little social skills I have because food was what I interacted with growing up. So I'm grateful to be abstinent and sober today, and I have a lot of catching up to do. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Michelle F. Jen L., it's your turn, followed by Terry S. Please go ahead, Jean.
Hi, this is Jean L., recovering compulsive eater. This paragraph and hearing other people share, I was trying to remember when eating meant release from care, boredom, and worry, joyous intimacy with friends, and a feeling that life is good. And what I could recall, I'm 58 now, but I could recall when I was little, there were six kids, and that's what the dinner table was. It was up until I was about, I guess, 8, 9, it was wonderful. And I didn't realize that I was different until I started getting teased by the kids when it was weigh-in day, when, you know, people would invite me over to their house to see how I ate and then make fun of me at school the next day. So I began to have shame. And then at 11 and 12 is when I first started dieting. And 1 year between elementary and middle school, I lost 50 pounds, and all the kids that teased me in elementary school were trying to be my friends in middle school. So it really messed up my trust. And from that age, from little on, food just became a battleground. And how I coped with it was refusing going places. I have anorexia in my past, bulimia, and compulsive eating. And food, going to reunions, family things, just tense up. Hate watching people eat. I hate having the food, you know, and I realize I'm not normal. When I ate and when I binge, it's in the dark by myself. And what now has happened is meetings have become joyous intimacy with friends and a feeling that life is good. It's release from care, boredom, and worry. These 12 steps have given me an entire new way to live, to see the world, to experience relationships, and I'm very grateful. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Jean L. Terry S., it's your turn, followed by Rachel P. Please go ahead, Terry.
Good morning, everybody on the line. This is Terry S., recovering food addict in Bend, Oregon. Oh, I'm so grateful to be here. And I have to say that I was vastly relieved that we were jumping to this chapter because I wasn't sure how I was going to handle reading the other three. Anyway, what struck me, there's so much in this paragraph. First of all, I'm not normal. I'm not quite sure what normal is, but I have normal friends with their food, and I observe that perhaps after the dinner party, my friend might go around with a bag of chocolate chips and drop a few into your palm, and that's dessert. I wanted to grab the bag of chocolate chips out of her hand. I couldn't relate to that at all. But what I wanted to share about this is the progression of this disease for me has been so brutal. The last relapse, I remember sitting on my couch. I'd been binging on sugar all day. And I got to the food coma. And those of you that get blitzed out on food can relate to this. I started to fall asleep. I was numb. And there was a voice in my head that said, "This is what you've been trying to achieve." And what a horrible disease we have that can take me to that level of desperation that I am willing to eat myself into oblivion so that I am numb. I'm not trying to recapture the old days. I know, sweetheart. I am trying to be numb. I don't want to feel anything because I can't stand the pain of trying to live life on life's terms. I'd like to say that that jolted me out of my relapse. It happened a couple of days later, but that voice in my head has not left. I do not want to live life like that anymore. I'm done. And because of the 12 steps and the hope and the experience and the strength I hear on these lines and that I experience for myself, I'm marching through life and I'm abstinent and I am trying to do service. My life is so much richer. I don't have to be numb. And thank you so much for everyone being here. With that, I will pass.
Thank you, Terry S. And Rachel P., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Rachel.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Rachel P., recovered compulsive overeater in Denver, Colorado. I haven't been on this meeting in a little while since this crisis started, for the most part, but I started calling in yesterday, again, because I need it. I went through a breakup of a relationship of 15 months just two nights ago, and I'm not eating over it. Thank God that, you know, the recovery that I've had over the past 2 years is more important to me than anything else in my life. And I'm not like normal folks. You know, I can't eat in celebration of things. I can't eat at parties. I can't eat my trigger foods at parties. I can't eat to relieve me of boredom, especially now during this time of crisis, you know, and I have so many normie friends who, people in my life who can eat when they're bored or when they're happy or when they're celebrating, and they can eat a little bit of this food and be okay, and then it's done, and then they're back to normal. For me, I can't do that. If I eat one bite of my trigger foods, that physical allergy of the body is triggered. And the mental obsession of my mind is triggered, and I just want more and more and more, and it's never enough. And I was in this disease for 20 years. I mean, I think I was born with it, but from the age of 8 years old to 28 when I came into recovery, this disease had me in its grip so tightly. And after all that time, you know, finding recovery, I had to evaluate, is what the food is doing for me, is that outweighed with what it's doing to me. And that's why I came into program. I had that sense of desperation that I had to be done. This is my last door and I had to be done. And I couldn't do it anymore. And so no matter what happens in life, I can use this program, and I'm armed with this knowledge of myself and this knowledge that I have this disease and that I can't act like these normal folks. I just can't. And if it helps me to think just for today, I'm going to eat my three meals and a snack that I committed to my sponsor, and I'm not going to use food to cope with these emotions. If it helps just for today, that's what I need to do. I don't need to think about tomorrow. I don't need to think about a year from now, 10 years from now, you know, at my wedding or friends' weddings or any sorts of celebratory events. It's right now, right here. I'm going to feel this emotion, and I'm not going to eat over it. So I'm really grateful for this community and for this program, and that I'm armed with the knowledge that I'm not a normal person, and that's okay, that I can find acceptance about that. So thanks. I'll pass.
Thank you, Rachel P. Okay, for those of us who might have come on a little bit later, we are starting the Chapter 11, A Vision for You, on page 151. And we read the first paragraph that starts with, for most normal folks. So the line is now open for sharing on what we just read. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every 3 days in order that others might share their experience too. So for us, that means if you shared on Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday, please step back and let others have their turn. And please say your name just once, as it helps me hear everybody. And we probably have time for two or three more shares. Who would like that spot?
Erica T.
Jordan L.
Ginger C.
Okay, I've got my lineup, thank you. I heard Erica T., Jordan L., and Ginger C. Please go ahead, Erica.
Hi, I'm Erica T. from Northern California. I'm really glad to be here with you guys this morning. I love this paragraph. I'm thinking about how before I came into OA, I would always tell myself, well, I don't think I have an eating problem because I'm not the only one, you know, who eats when they're bored or emotional or stressed. Like, I see other people doing that too. And so that must mean that I'm normal. And now I realize that doesn't mean that I'm normal. You know, maybe other people can eat when they're stressed and then they put down the food. And for me, I can't do that. And one of the things that I've really had to learn for myself in this program is that whatever relationship other people have with food, whatever they can or can't do, is none of my business. What's my business is what's going to work for me and my body. And in my body, I need to be vigilant about my food. I can't, you know, eat when I'm not hungry, because then that starts me down on that path to compulsive overeating. So this is a great paragraph, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Erica T. And Jordan L., it's your turn. Please go ahead, Jordan.
Good morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Gunnison, Colorado, and super grateful to be on a meeting with you guys this morning. There may have been a time I was normal, but it is no longer the case. So when I first started kind of like on this path to recover from compulsive overeating through working the steps out of the big book, I had to like get clear on some things around abstinence and what that looks like. Unlike a lot of you guys, I like to study, and I towards the start of my recovery, I looked up the word compulsive, and one of the definitions of it was exciting. and I started to understand that like that was one of my behaviors. Because that's kind of, that was like, that was the part of this disease that I had a hard time swallowing. I heard a lot of people when I came into Overeaters Anonymous, I heard a lot of people talk about eating over their feelings. And I was like, no, I don't have any feelings. I'm like a brick wall, man. This is about the food. This isn't about feelings. And I had to come to understand that this there was that component of this, right? And I had to come to understand that, like, there was a behavioral component to this, and that I needed to be able to address that as well if I was going to be able to recover from this, you know. And I realized that I had to let go of food being like an exciting thing for me, of it being like an exciting part of life, like something to spice up the day, you know, pun intended, I guess. and I had to let go of that if I was going to like do this thing for real and recover with you guys. And my food is boring now, you know, and that was hard to swallow in the beginning. But after a couple of years in recovery, it's all good. I'd rather have, I like my boring food. Cause when my food's boring, you guys are my excitement, you know, participating with you guys. It's what spices up my day. And I've got to do a lot of meetings lately, via
time, please.
Video conferencing, and I love it. So that's it. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Jordan L. And Ginger C., you'll be the last person to share today. Please go ahead, Ginger.
Oh, great. Thanks so much, Lynn, for your service this morning. I am Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, there's always one more attempt and one more failure, and sadly some pursue it into insanity and death. You know, this cucumber has become a pickle, but somehow, some way I'm going to have my food and keep it in play, right? So again, you know, over any considerable period, we get worse, never better. It's where I always end up from picking up. I'm punished. You know, I have severe consequences. And thank God for every beautiful bite, because again, one less bite and I may not have arrived to this place where I was finally convinced. I was done with the show. I was tired of the pain. And I knew I was in trouble because of those bites and the reality of where it takes me. You know, this incomprehensible demoralization where I can't get out of the bed. I want to die. My kids think that I'm sick with cancer, because they don't understand why mom's never leaving the bedroom. And that's the greatest pain, because I knew if I would stop eating this poison, this sugar, I wouldn't be so depressed and wanting to kill myself. Yet I cannot stop. So thank God for that pain of desperation and this place where the food brings us. And if you're not convinced and you're not done, the book is real clear. You may need a few more bites. I relapsed for 20 years in this program. It takes what it takes, but when the student's ready, the teacher appears. And that teacher is this great reality that lies down deep within each and every one of us. But again, I have to be done and out of ideas. I have to be convinced. Step one has got to be taken completely, 100%. That door has to be shut. And if it's an option, if the food is any type of an option, it guaranteed will always be the only option. So I'm so grateful for the experience. I'm so grateful for every beautiful bite, because today I no longer see food as any type of a solution. And I didn't know that I could be in life without it. And with that, I pass.
And thank you, Ginger C. And thank you to everyone who shared today and to our terrific theme Thursday. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164. Followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Maria F. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. My name is Maria F. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from County Dublin in Ireland. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until